Welcome to the November 22nd, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Cool. This is actually our 30th podcast as the Phoenix reincarnation of the Lullabot podcast is Drupalize Me. So that's a nice even number. So that's kind of cool. I'm Addie. I am your hostess for today's podcast. And I have with me a couple of other people on the Drupalize Me team, such as
Joe Schindler,
along with
Kyle Hoffmeyer.
And last but not least,
Joe Fender.
Joe Fender is new to the Drupalize Me team. He is our new full-time dev, and we've been putting him to work. we're going to talk about that on this podcast. But you'll also notice that we now have two Joes on the team. So I might, you know, sometimes just say Joe, and nobody's going to know who I'm talking about. So just run with it, folks. We'll all get used to it over time. But yeah, on today's podcast, we are going to talk about our new site that we just launched this week. We upgraded from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7, and it's been a long, interesting road, and we wanted to sort of share what that experience has been like for us and what it's been like this week, because it's been a very busy, crazy week. But before we get into that, let me just do Drupal news and events real quick. First, in just general Lullabot announcement information is just to make sure you check out the other podcasts that we have on lullabot.com. There's the Creative Process with Jared Ponchot and Insert Content Here with Jeff Eaton. So we have those in addition to the Drupal specific one that we are doing here. And then there were two things that kind of came out from the Drupal Association recently. One was they actually have a social media requests form now. So they do a lot of social media push, and so people have things that are useful that should be pushed out to the Drupal community through social media channels. They actually have a form, so we'll put a link to that in the notes down there. But I think that's pretty cool, and we should help them out, help the community, share with the community. Another big thing that just came out this week, the Drupal Association had their board meeting earlier this month, and they have come up with the leadership plan and budget for 2014. And the leadership plan is quite an extensive document that explains a lot of stuff that's going on and the budget approval they have. There's a blog post, which I'll link to, and you can find all the other stuff. But basically what they're saying is that Drupal.org and Drupal 8 are the main focuses for foci, if I want to be proper English speaker, for 2014. But one of the things like I noticed is like, I mean, they really are going to actually put quite a lot of budget. They're going to, you know, spend quite a lot of money to make these things happen. And like one example is Drupal.org. They're going to actually up the staffing from 2 people that are staffing dealing with Drupal.org right now to 9.5. So I'm assuming that's 9 full-time people and a half-time person, because that 9.5 people is strange. Anyway, so go read that. I mean, this is where, like, when you donate your money or you pay for Drupal cons, you know, any profits from that, like, goes to this stuff. So this is what we're doing as a community, and it's interesting read to see sort of what the plans are there. So anyway, go check that out. In event stuff, we are sponsoring Drupal Camp Cornell in Ithaca, New York on December 2nd. So that's coming up really fast. I know there's probably going to be a very heavy education focus, seeing that it's at a university. There should also be a lot of Drupal 8 activity going on there. So if you are in upstate New York or that general region, you should go check that out. And I should mention that if you would like Drupalize Me to sponsor your event, or if you would like us to speak at your event, if we can work that out in some way, you should let us know. So just get in touch with us. Like, you can either use our contact form on Drupalize Me, drupalize.me/contact, use social media. You can email us at info@drupalize.me as well. So anyway, just get in touch with us, and we can talk. Cool. So that's sort of the announcement-y stuff. Let's talk about our website. So I'm going to start off by just giving kind of a quick, I hope quick, overview, sort of to give some context about what's led up to us coming to this place and actually having an upgraded site. So we, back actually at DrupalCon Denver, it was a long time ago, it was two North American DrupalCons ago, we decided that we should upgrade our site. We are on Drupal 6, and we wanted to upgrade it to Drupal 7, and we thought it would be a really good way for us to really have our, you know, be up to our elbows in Drupal 7. You know, working on a Drupal 6 site, but teaching Drupal 7 seemed a little weird. So we decided, let's go ahead and upgrade our own site. You know, it's, there's some stuff in there. It's not a terribly complicated site, we said. There's e-commerce. Yeah, you know, e-commerce can be hard, but we'll figure that out. So anyway, we decided to go ahead and move forward with the upgrade. Joe actually has the original commit where we did the initial commit of our Drupal 7 core code base to get this started, and that was June 5th, 2012. So it's been just about 17 months, 18 months, right, that we've been in this process of doing this upgrade. And when we initially discussed this, we wanted to have it upgraded by the end of the year 2012.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, we're just a year late. What? Dates change. It happens. So, it's been a long road for half of the upgrade process. There were just myself, Joe, and Kyle on the DrupalizeMe team. And so we were moving the upgrade forward as best we could, but we were also creating all the content, doing all of the support, going to events, teaching. We had to do everything. So it was a little slow going.
It's worth pointing out, too, that like the decision to upgrade to Drupal 7 wasn't just, oh, this sounds like fun and a good learning opportunity. When we were at DrupalCon Denver, I remember sitting down and having a conversation with you guys and brainstorming onto a whiteboard basically about all of the sort of pie in the sky. If our site could do anything, what would we improve about it? And we made this, I remember it being a pretty extensive list too. And a lot of the things we started to realize like were not going to be possible, or at least would be really complicated for us to do with the Drupal 6 version of the site. And part of that discussion was like, okay, maybe what we can do is upgrade to Drupal 7. We're not going to be able to do these features in Drupal 6, but by doing so, we're going to hopefully make it easier for us to add new functionality and do some of these things, both on the public-facing side, but a lot of it, too, is just things that would make our jobs easier. You know, specifically Kyle, who's always uploading videos and coding them and all of that, and trying to make that process easier.
Yeah, and we had a lot of cruft in the Drupal 6 site. For folks who remember way back in the day, like we started off and we actually tried to genericize DrupalizeMe a bit so that we could sort of spin it off into the Videola video distribution. And so we ended up not building the site for us as if we were just, you know, going to crank out a site to do exactly what we wanted. And while it was an interesting process and it led to Videola, at the end of the day, it didn't give us the best site that we could have to do the things we wanted, because we had lots of things in place that were meant for other people to use that we didn't actually even really want. So, and it was just the whole process of getting the initial site bootstrapped was, you know, we bootstrapped it while we were working on client work. And so it was very kind of pell-mell, and we had so many people's hands in there. Not that we haven't had a lot of hands in Drupal 7 site either, but it was just, there was a lot of cruft. And there were a lot of things that were really, really confusing about the Drupal 6 site, both in terms of using it, but also just in the back end and trying to get new people up to speed in the code. It was just a madhouse. So we wanted to kind of wipe all that clean and create the site that we really wanted to, and a better, you know, site in terms of architecture and tools and all that stuff. So that was the plan. That was the idea.
And as per usual, our idea about how we should build it and what better architected mean changed like every couple of months for the first year or so of the project.
Of course. That's how it goes. Yeah. But, you know, anyway, so let's talk about it, though, because this was like we had this like pie in the sky vision of what we wanted to do. We were so optimistic about what we would be able to accomplish in what we thought was a reasonable amount of time and now looks laughably short amount of time. And so I want us to just, we're going to share sort of what the experience has been like, and what's, you know, what's, what the road has been like and where we are now in terms of the site and what sort of might be coming in the immediate future. But I guess, so looking back over the last, you know, basically 18 months of working on this, what would you guys say were the biggest challenges that we've encountered? I mean, there's tons of them, but like, what are the ones that stand out to you guys?
I think for me, one of the biggest challenges has just been finding time to work on it. You know, you mentioned this a little bit, and especially early on, it was just with all of the training and trying to record videos for the site and other, you know, maintain the existing site. It felt like for, you know, a good chunk of the project, it was most of us were only able to spend a few hours a week working on the upgrade process. And for myself, like having to work on a lot of the migration code and that, it's, there are these kind of complicated problems that take a non-trivial amount of time to sit down and wrap your head around. And then you spend an hour on it. And then you walk away for a week and you come back and it's like, what was I working on? Oh yeah, that's right. Let me try to spend another hour wrapping my head around what I was working on and trying to get back up to speed. And I just felt like it was very inefficient for me in that respect because I had so little and such fragmented time to spend on it.
Yeah, that was, for me, that's definitely the biggest thing as well, is it was just hard for us to actually focus on it because we had so many other things going on. I think, you know, if it could have been all three of us doing nothing but working on upgrading the site, it would have been a really different picture, but that's just not realistic, you know, given our small team and the fact that, you know, we have members that we need to support and we need content to keep on the site. Like, it's just, it was a completely unrealistic outlook, I think.
And I think it shows, too, in that, like, the majority of the work to upgrade it got done in the last probably third of the time that we spent working on it. And as we added more people to the team, like Emma and Joe Fender and Amber, we were able to distribute the load for all of the sort of upkeep of the current site, and everybody got more time as a whole to work on updating the new site. And it's been amazing to watch how quickly things have progressed in the last like 6 months or so. It's just all of a sudden, I was like, holy cow, everything's getting done.
Yeah, so we had a team of three. And then in April, we hired Emma and also Andrew Wilson. So they came on and that helped a little bit in terms of the load. And then we decided that we were really going slow. And so we actually started to bring in contractors to help us with the site. So Pat Taglia came in and did a bunch of work for us over the summer, mostly on front end. And then we realized that still just wasn't enough. And so we brought in Joe Fender, originally as a contractor, but he was so awesome, we decided to hire him. And we also brought in an external company called Artists, who's been working with us for the last several months. So we've actually brought in, I mean, over the course since the summer to now, we've had four or five different contractors helping with us. And we also hired a designer. We hired Amber just a few weeks ago. So we've hired new people, but we brought in a lot of contractor kind of hired guns to help us just get this thing done because it was just obviously going to take us forever. Because even with adding new people, like we still have to get all the work done. And the other interesting thing though was like adding all of these people to get stuff done, like it accelerated, but it also kind of I mean, it's complicated. The more people you add into the process, you know, because we were used to working on such a tiny little team, just the three of us, and we would just talk stuff through and then get it done. And we had to kind of work through the growing pains of working with a larger team to get things done. And overall, that accelerated us. But there are definitely periods of sort of like, wait, so how should we do this now that we have, you know, six or seven people working on it versus just three? So.
Yeah, when I started, which was about 2 months ago now, at the beginning, it took me about a week or 2 weeks to actually just get a grip with the code that so many people had touched over the last, I don't know, 16 or so months. And I think by adding all these like contractors like myself and RDAS, it really helped fix the issue that Joe was describing with the finding time to work on the upgrade. But it did introduce that whole new issue of, how do we manage all these new people and how do we get them all to work on the code in an efficient way? And after we got through that initial stage of, learning what other people have done and how we can work with that, with a site the size of this one, and there's so many just moving parts of the website that if you change one thing, it could easily break something else. And then when you're doing that with multiple people as well, that just, you know, it's exponential, the things that can go wrong. And I think that's some of the things we struggled with right at the end, just before launch, actually, just as we were going towards the launch day. We were fixing something and then we'd have to open a ticket that we closed 2 weeks ago because it broke another thing. There's good and bad things to all these things, but I'm glad we launched it.
I guess people can probably tell from Joe's just last statements there that no, we do not have tests on the site yet. It's on our list and we're starting to work on them. But it kind of came down to, well, do we, you know, get this feature, get this like launch blocker done or write the test? And it kind of came down to, you know, getting the site launched because it's been a long slog. And to be completely honest, like after this long of a period, it's kind of a morale buster to just keep pounding away on a project that nobody can see and that you just feel like you haven't actually gotten there. It's a really long project to not actually have something to show for. And so we definitely just sort of wanted to put it out there, get the basics out there, and then we are still running at full speed right now to keep up with bugs and things like that. But and tests are part of that process. So for those of you who are questioning or judging, just know that's where it's at, right? Next question.
another thing to keep in mind, way back in Denver when we decided to do this, one thing we decided back then was we were actually not going to redesign it. Yes. We were actually going to try to do this migration. And of course we said that. Then somewhere along the way we said, let's just spruce it up a little bit, which then led to an entirely new theme. And then somewhere along the way we said, let's make it responsive as well, which we're still getting the kinks out of that. But during this entire process, we just kept adding and adding and adding on to it from the initial, let's just upgrade.
Go creep.
Yep. Do you remember when we decided we were going to have a new logo and then there was always this confusion about, like, do you put the new logo on the sticker or do you put the old logo on the sticker? Yeah. And is the site going to, like, okay, we're going to launch for Badcamp, so should we have the new logo on the sticker? And then we didn't launch, and then I was like, oh, crap, now we've got stickers with the new logo on it, but the site has the old logo, and it was chaos.
Because we basically, we did a rebranding. And so if you go to our events or see stuff that we have out there, you'll have seen the new branding, even though it didn't match our site. Because the site was supposed to have been launched a long time ago. Oops. Yeah, definitely some scope creep there. Although I have to say, this is what you always say, right? Yeah, it was scope creep, but isn't it awesome? And I love the new brand and I love the new design and stuff like that. But it just kept adding stuff onto the pile. And this is one of the things about being your own client, where you have to make like the decision on whether it's scope creep or not and whether or not that's a launch blocker or not. It's so easy to just keep putting stuff in there and say, sure, we'll do it. And although I think in the last, particularly the last couple of months, we've gotten a little better internally of kind of calling it out and being like, is that really a launch blocker? Or is it just because you want it? You know, and it's been interesting for me too, because I was doing the project management back when we were just a team of three. Once Emma came on, she took over project management. And that to me was huge, because I could then sort of become more the product owner and sort of toss things in and be like, oh, this is really important. And she'd be like, no, it's not important enough. And I felt like it created a little bit more of an room for some pushback on some of those things. Whereas before it was a lot harder, at least for me, to draw that line. And so it was kind of nice. And I feel like that's just for me as like a product manager, product director, it's been a big help to not be the project manager at the same time. But yeah, we definitely had quite a lot of scope creep. But let's talk a little bit about the technical, what has changed on the site. So because the site looks different, we have a new design. But actually, in terms of features, it's not it's not like we added a whole bunch of features or anything like that. Like, really, we just tried to upgrade the site. And frankly, it's not 100% the same site that it was, even in terms of features, yet. So let's talk a little bit just sort of about what are some of the things that we did, like the major moving pieces. Like, we said we wanted to make a better site and get rid of cruft and stuff like that. So, but what are the big pieces to the process that we ended up doing on this site?
I think one of the biggest ones was deciding that we wanted to switch our billing system to something other than UberCart. On the Drupal 6 site, are all of the billing and the handling of recurring transactions and all and everything, all of the business logic there is handled by UberCart and a handful of additional modules that sort of bolt things onto UberCart, and probably a half a dozen or more custom modules for features that we needed that were just very site specific. And the new site, all of the billing will be handled by a third party service called Recurly. And so we spent a lot of time talking about this. Actually, probably even way back in Denver when we were first kind of coming up with this idea of rebuilding our site. And one of the things that I think we recognized was with the Drupal 6 site, as a team, we end up spending a lot of time and energy maintaining our billing system. And it's not something that we're experts at, and it's probably not the best use of our time. You know, we would rather be spending time making new videos and going out and doing workshops and all of that kind of stuff. But we ended up spending way more time than I think any of us ever anticipated on making sure the billing system was working. And it started to just get to be very frustrating and challenging. And so the idea was moving to something like Recurly, whose tagline I think is something like, you know, we'll do the hard part for you so you can focus on what you're good at. It's like, oh, sweet, that's what I want to do. I want to focus on making videos and stuff. Yeah. And I went through this like probably like 3 or 4 month long process of looking at a bunch of different software as a service, recurring billing solutions like Recurly and Spreadly. And I think there's one named Cheddar Getta, which was awesome name, but and I came up with all these graphs comparing them and the costs and the features that they had, and ultimately we went with Recurly. I think it turned out that Nate Haug was doing some of the same research at the same time for a project that he was working on, and him and I both came to the same conclusion that there were a handful of them, didn't really matter, but he had met some of the people from Recurly and was like, well, I know them, so let's use theirs. And then we ended up doing that, and it's been great. And one of the really nice things here, too, is that webform.com is actually using Recurly as well. And so Nate and I have been able to share a lot of code back and forth and help each other figure things out for getting it working. That said, migrating from one billing system to another billing system, oh man, I had no
not
idea.
Recommended.
Holy cow, I never would have imagined what that meant. Wow. Yeah, and so actually, yeah, we we were using UberCart, and we have authorize.net as our gateway, and they were also handling the recurring billing part and then communicating back. And so it's been just getting them to sync up and get the information to Recurly is just like running uphill in winter in molasses. It's crazy.
It's tough. It makes sense though. Like you step back and think about it. Like we're dealing with people's credit card numbers and really important, like private, extremely private information. And so it makes sense that there's lots of different legal hurdles and technical hurdles that you have to make sure that you're following, you know, making sure that when you transfer this information around, then it's done so in a PCI compliant way and so forth. And so I'm very thankful that all of these processes exist and that there are people that are there that will enforce that it's done that way. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of paperwork is part of it. And then there's just a lot of code you have to write to make it work too. It's been so one of the things that people will probably notice that are current subscribers to the site and have now had their account transition to our new site is that some of the billing features are kind of in the state of transition. And one of the things that we're having to deal with is this like chicken or egg problem where we couldn't really stop using our old billing system until we launched the new site, but we couldn't start using the new billing system until we launched the new site. And so we ended up with this. The solution is basically we launched the new site. In the background, our old site is still running and processing all of the billing for existing customers and then updating the new site until we've had a chance to get Recurly and authorize.net to talk together and exchange the information that we need to them to exchange, which could be anywhere. You know, they've told us anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. And so it's kind of this, we have this sort of interim time where we need to essentially be running two billing systems at once, mm-hmm. and then have code in place to kind of reconcile the differences, which is part of me is like, wow, this is really cool. I can't believe we actually came up with a solution for this. And part of me is like, oh man, I hope this all works.
And it required a lot of brain power and a lot of code.
A lot of testing.
Yeah, to make sure that this was all going to work. So it was, yeah, so the back end of what we've needed to do this change has been way bigger than we had thought when we thought, oh yeah, sure, let's just change. You know, it makes sense in retrospect, but, and we're still quite glad that we are doing this. We still feel like what we're going to get with Recurly is going to be really good for us and for our members. But the process is definitely, and so we've launched the site, like Joe said, we've launched the site, but this sort of billing middle space is going to last probably for a couple of months. The authorized just let us know that they are in a moratorium or something, so they won't be able to provide the transfer until January. So, sorry about that, but our hands are tied on that one. And wow, fascinating experience though.
We'll get there eventually.
We will. Fine in the meantime.
Yeah. And if you have questions, you know, feel free to contact us about it.
Sure.
I will say that working with Recurly has been a blast. I find their API has been one of the like best documented APIs I've worked with in a really long time. It says it's going to, like, if you post this value to this URL, this is what's going to happen, and you do it and it actually does. It's like, wow, this is amazing. So I'm really excited about that. And I often felt like some of the interaction between UberCart and authorize.net was this like a little bit of a black box. Sometimes, like, I throw a value in and I wait and see what comes back, and I go, oh, that's not quite what I wanted. Mm. What happens if I do this? And it was just, I'm sure the documentation exists, but I had a hard time finding it in a lot of cases. And it's been a pleasure to work with that.
I totally agree, Joe. Aspect. I mean, Recurly API, if anybody here is actually used the PayPal API, and you'd expect someone like PayPal to have a really well documented API that works perfectly, it's terrible. So when I started using the Recurly API as well, it's just a dream come true for payment APIs. I didn't even know Recurly existed until a few months back. And if anyone's looking for, you know, a new payment service to use, I would definitely recommend it to any developers.
So what else on the site? So we talked about this, like, better than the old site, and things are not completely the same as they were on the old site. And so we should probably talk a little bit about that. In sense of, like, yeah, these are not the same, but also, like, at the end of the day, we want to get the site launched. And even though it took us this long to do it, we still didn't get everything done we wanted to do. Just, like, really. It's been intense. And so we definitely have some stuff that, like, I think the site, like, the back end of the site, like, moving to Recurly, a lot of the cleanup that we did, a lot of the work that we've done, it has made the site a better site in terms of us using it and maintaining it. But I guess, is the site better for our members? Like, did that really happen?
I think you could ask the same question too. Like, is it better for us? And, you know, we said at the beginning of the podcast, one of the things we wanted to do was improve the tools that we use in order to manage this stuff. So I would also ask that question. Like, do you guys think, is it actually improved? Yeah. Well, and if not, how are we going to get there?
First of all, it's Drupal 7. So, I mean, that's definitely a huge improvement there, because developing on Drupal 6 compared to Drupal 7 is a completely new ballgame. So, like, in terms of the back end, for me, coming in just a couple of months ago, I haven't really worked on the Drupal 6 site, but I just know it's much easier to work with because it's Drupal 7. And that's one of the big bonuses, I guess, in terms of moving forward from now, because it will just allow us to add new features much more easier and smoothly based on that. In terms of maybe how other users are looking at this, not particularly developers or people working behind the scenes, they might notice that it looks a little bit less like a video website. That's something I noticed when I started here. There was a lack of maybe images and video thumbnails and stuff like that. And something also David Burns from Ludabot also picked up on recently. So that's definitely something we're aware of. And I think moving forward, we're going to be hopefully looking into.
Yeah,
I heard rumor that Kyle's working on some crazy promotional video stuff to put on that sort of like hero spot on the front page and improve that. And I think one of Addy's like big issues with the Drupal 6 version of the site was changing that hero spot on the front page was hard. And so if we wanted to have a promotion or we just wanted to like highlight some new content or something, it was just a pain in the butt.
And now code pushes.
Yeah. In theory, it's much easier now. You might have to wait until we've actually done it once and then ask us again if it is easier. But in theory, it's easier now.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, with the redesign and, like, we were doing things, like, I think, in the ideal world, what we wanted to do was, like, well, we'll put some stuff up and we'll actually get, like, some, you know, user feedback from people. Like, put our designs out there and, like, do this whole, like, process, like, properly, you know? But at the end of the day, of course, that's not how that happened. It was like, oh, we should do this and we should do that. And we're like, oh, well, the thumbnails, I mean, are they actually useful? They just sort of take up space. Let's just remove those. And, like, we know it's a video site. We were kind of working in we've been working in an echo chamber for 18 months on this site and completely consumed and inside of it. And so things like that are, you know, we can look back and be like, oh, yeah, that. You know, and that's sort of one of those things, again, about, like, being rushed and changing things so much throughout our process that we couldn't actually sit down and, like, figure out what was the right thing to do with that. And so now we are hearing about it from people, and we will be looking at how to correct that.
I think if you look at something, like, right in front of your nose for 18 months, you start to forget everything about it. You start to lose track of what you're looking at. You can't even see the problems right in front of you. So I think it's great now that it's out there in the wild just for people to look at. And that's definitely going to give the feedback that we need straight away to keep working on it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have been getting a lot of feedback, both good and bugs. And I would say generally, it's really great, actually. A lot of people who are reporting problems or bugs are being really nice about it. Like, they like the site, they like the design, but, you know, things like now when you watch a video and you want to watch the next video in the series, you have absolutely no idea how to do that because you really kind of can't. And we were kind of like, oops. So,
yeah. Turns out that's an important thing.
You know? Yeah. And again, like, we were all sort of in there, in the site all the time. Like, it's that's, like, just an insanely obvious thing. But we've just got so myopic from being, like, completely consumed within this machine for so long that we missed it. We missed actually just stopping to look and see how that worked and that was just a huge missing piece of the puzzle. So we are working on that. Kyle is working on part of that solution, like, right now. Well, not right now. He's on the podcast. You better be paying attention. but he's been working on that stuff yesterday and today, so... but like those are the kinds of things, like, you know, doing this like huge long drawn out upgrade process and not having sort of external feedback on a regular basis, again, that's sort of putting it out there and having people pushing back against it, has definitely been problematic, I think, for us. I think on the whole, I think we've done a really good job, but we have had a couple of things that are you know, now that it's out there in the wild, it's sort of like, you know, you just want to smack yourself on the forehead and be like, duh. So we're getting there. I also, like, I wanted to... So one of the big things for us using the site, and I want Kyle to talk about this, because Kyle does a lot of the back-end stuff working with our videos, and we've changed that process as well as sort of another back-end change, not quite as dramatic as the Recurly one, but it's another big change for us. How has that process been for you, Kyle?
Oh, my favorite part. It will be better. I know that this is one of those things where we didn't get to finish it. So posting a video to our site is not just, here's the video, it's done. There's actually a lot of pieces because these videos need to be encoded. These videos need to be stretched across our CDN. These videos start out as an entity and then are referenced in a node. And then they have to be able to... have different bit rates associated to them, and then they have to work on mobile devices. So there is a lot of stuff in there that has to happen. And one of our things was to try to make that easier. And kind of, I was going to jump in and say, basically, one thing to understand is we didn't just really do a site upgrade. We started a foundation to make all this stuff possible. Kind of like Joe Fender was saying that, I mean, there stuff just can't be done in Drupal 6. So we needed Drupal 7. And I think we created a foundation. We know we missed some things and we didn't get everything done, but now we can do those things and everything's in place. So I think that was part of the biggest thing the upgrade has done for us. So yeah, we have a lot of things in place, but they're just not done for the posting a video. So at some point, our dream is that we do actually just upload a file and pretty much everything is automagically done from there on versus the 9 other steps. We have to run a script locally that does the encoding on encoding.com. So we have the bits and pieces in place to just upload, and hopefully we get that done. That's on my launch blocker list, but I know that's not on anybody else's.
It's funny. That was like one of the first things I started on when we were like, when we started building the new version of the site, was like, sweet, I'm going to make all of this, like, uploading and coding a video way easier, and Kyle will love me afterwards. And so I started on this, and then I was like, oh, maybe this isn't quite as important to actually launching the site as I thought it was. So I now have all of this, like, half-written code and, like, weird branches that I'll probably never actually be able to rebase into the existing site. But I definitely kind of started some of that, like, wanting to build those features right away, because that's what we had been talking about in our initial conversations, and then realized that before we could do that, we actually needed to just get the site as it is currently, essentially, or the, you know, most of the features that we have currently updated. And I've, you know, it's been a long haul, and I'm really looking forward to having the opportunity to now start iterating on some of those features and improving those things and making that better. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be awesome.
What is funny is that we are a video tutorial site, and to put a video on our site actually is a, I think, 2.5 page document on how to do it. So that pretty much...
Maybe we should make a video tutorial for ourselves about how to post a video tutorial.
Exactly.
Oh, don't think I haven't thought about it.
But that takes time.
Yeah. Time. What is time?
So I want to talk a little bit. We should probably wrap up soonish, but I wanted to also talk about, so it's been a long haul for us. It's definitely been, I think we have a lot of lessons learned. I think you'll probably see some articles coming out of this. And because we want to share this, what this experience has been like for us, because we're a small shop basically trying to upgrade our own site, you know, while trying to actually provide our, what our main business is, our, you know, our website's our business, but the features of it are not necessarily right. So,
we've actually had a lot of content come out of it already too. Like, you know, in order to do this upgrade, we had to learn how to use the Migrate module, and then we ended up recording a series on Migrate, which of course meant that it took us months longer to write the actual migration because we were distracted recording a video about migrations. But we did that, and we also, I would say, a large portion of the stuff that's in the Entity API series came out of building the site. In fact, the code that you write in the Entity API series, or that we wrote as for examples, a lot of that is actually like copy pasted from stuff that I wrote to build the site itself. So like while you're watching the video, the code that you're writing is the same as the code that's powering the video that you're watching.
Whoa.
It's a codeception.
We also knew that our theme, we wanted to use SaaS, so we came up with the Compass and SaaS series too. Yeah. So yeah, there was a lot of stuff that came out of this that was good for everyone, I think.
Yeah, lots of good stuff. So I just want to, for each of you, I also want to sort of put it out there, like, what has this week been like? So we launched the site on Wednesday. And we were all out of the office last week, except for Joe Fender, at the Lullabot Company retreat in Mexico. Yes. And so it's also just been a crazy time to actually get this thing up to launch and then launching. So I'm just curious for each of you to sort of individually talk about what this week has been like and like what the immediate future feels like to you right now, honestly.
Nobody. Well, for me, it's been just a...
go first.
Yeah. Well, no,
ahead,
I mean...
Kyle, you can go first.
All right. The week hasn't been too much different for me. It's just one thing I have noticed just from launches, like we were talking about stuff that we couldn't do. And it's amazing when you take something away from users, how quickly you know how important it was. So, I mean, that's kind of... The week for me has just been a surprise to see some of the stuff that we didn't do or we couldn't do, and we've heard about it. So it's... for our users, please keep letting us know. But beyond that, the week has been pretty normal for me because I'm still just working on videos because we can't stop ever doing that. So
Kyle's pretty much been in video production mode for the majority of the time. And I've been doing a lot of the recording so that we can keep videos on the site.
Yeah. Joe, your turn.
Yeah.
Which one?
Oh, no.
Jumped in.
That's awesome.
Yeah. well, for me, like I think, yeah, it was Tuesday morning we launched, and it was 9 a.m. Yeah. CET, where Joe is now in Spain, which is 8 a.m. for me. So I got up at 8 and I was on in IRC with my cup of coffee waiting for something to break, and nothing did. So it was awesome for me. Joe did everything, and I just sat there and smiled and gave him a high five through IRC. And then, yeah, I think the first day there were a few hot fixes. On Wednesday, we had a bunch more. So that took most of the first part of my week. But then, yeah, for the last couple of days, it's just been working on new features, which is great considering we've just launched. Yeah, went really well, I think. Props to Joe.
Thanks. And to all of us, I think it was definitely a group effort. For me, it's been a fun week, actually. I think that overall the launch went really well. It went really smooth, and I knew for like a few weeks going up to it that Tuesday was our target date, and like I feel like every day that we got closer, I would be a little bit more stressed out about it and a little bit more. And then like Tuesday morning, I had this whole checklist to run through and do everything. And Tuesday morning, it was like, oh, I guess I'll change the DNS route. Record. And then like Joe Fender is like, hey, do you need any help in IRC? And I'm like, no, I guess I don't. And then it's like, and then I'm pretty sure I spent like the next 4 hours just like watching the website and the like Apache logs and like waiting for something to break. And I'm like, it's going to break. It's going to break. Apparently it's just going to keep working. Okay. It's going to break. It's going to break. I guess not. And yeah, we've had a few issues that have been discovered. You know, part of that is just like, once people actually start using it, you're going to encounter some of those issues, but I don't think we've had anything that was like horrible so far. And most of them have been fixed within, you know, a day or so of, discovering that it was an issue. It's been a long week for me. I've definitely like spent a lot more time online and working than I typically do. But I think part of that is just kind of like my personality and that like, it's always really important to me for like to have a job well done. And it's hard for me to leave when I know that there's this like outstanding issue, even if it could probably wait till tomorrow. It's like, oh, but I really want this done so that our users can see that it's done and they stop getting annoyed by, you know, whatever it is that's annoying them. I feel like that's tapering off a bit now. I'm really looking forward to sleeping a bit more in the future. And then really getting started on, being able to iterate based on actual user feedback rather than us just working in this bubble of this is what we think is right and how it should work. So I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, I think it's actually, I mean, aside from just launching the site and being like, finally, it's out there. Like for me, one of the most exciting things is getting feedback from people and for us to actually be able to iterate on the site now with real feedback rather than our echo chamber, you know, and it's been great. The feedback we've been getting is great. And like people are pointing out things that are, you know, missing and annoying. And we've, you know, put the priority up on those things. We definitely have lots of bugs. Like we have a backlog that has, I think, about 250 tickets in it. So we're 300 if you include our current sprint, I guess. So we know that there's lots of stuff to be done. Those aren't all bugs.
It's not all bugs, though.
That's not all bugs. Like we have bugs in there. We also have lots of really cool features that we've been wanting to do for 18 months that we can now start turning our attention to and stuff like that. And so I'm just so excited because we haven't been able to play with our site and iterate on the site for 18 months because we kind of froze our Drupal 6 site while we focused on Drupal 7. And so to get feedback and iterate and actually start moving the site forward again is like so exciting. Like that just, I can't even describe how refreshing it feels to be interacting with our members and moving things forward and providing for them. So sweet.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about the Drupal 8 update.
Tuesday morning at like 7 or so when I'm drinking coffee and like getting ready to launch the site, I kept thinking I should file a ticket in the launch blocker backlog about how we needed to update to Drupal 8 before we could launch the site and then just not launch it and see what happened when you guys woke up in the morning. But I guess
I'm game. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
We're not going to talk about Drupal 8 on this podcast. Love Drupal 8. Our site's not going anywhere near it for a while.
I think that's an interesting kind of thing to point out, though, is like in some respects, like I look back at this whole process and I still a little bit go, huh, was it really worth the 2 years that we spent rewriting and writing all of this new code? And actually what's interesting about it to me is I don't really know yet. I think that the next year will really tell whether it was worth that effort. Yeah. And as we start to implement some of these new features, like Joe Fender has been working on this gift certificates feature, which is something we've wanted to do for a while, to be able to sell gift certificates on the site. And you know, as we're able to add these new things and go, oh, that was actually pretty easy to do this time around compared to what it would have been like to try to do that for the Drupal 6 version of our site. And we get to kind of look back then and weigh it against, was it worth the effort that it took?
So let's wrap things up, but I want to just talk about some of the things we are excited about. So like gift certificates is actually one of the first things on radar simply because of the season that we are in right now. But we have other stuff that we want to do too. Like I said, it's been a long time since we've been, like, it's not like we didn't want to do stuff on the site. And we did do like the redesign and sort of switch some stuff up. But I think that like, we really now we want to be able to step back and rethink like the site in terms of like the actual user experience and the UI and how that stuff worked. And again, like have the actual feedback from people to make that better, I think is definitely things that you're going to see happening in the coming weeks and months. And then we've always wanted to do real courses. Like we have guides, but we really want, we've been talking about this seriously for 2 years of having courses and having self-assessment and tests and like a way to walk through and have projects and things like that. So that's like, for me, those are sort of the main things that are standing out right now. But we also have lots of little features that are just things we would really like to do, and now we can do them. Well, given time. But there's that. We also really, really want to start making a lot of Drupal 8 videos, so there's that. Yeah, is there anything else that you guys are excited about, or did that cover it?
Sure. Well, there's a few tickets in the backlog at the moment for redesigning some of the major pages that probably users use 99% of the time on our website, like the video page or series pages, possibly even the dashboard. So I think those are assigned to our designer, Justin. So he's awesome, and I'm sure he's going to do something really great with those pages and make them all sparkly for everyone to enjoy.
There's been a little discussion about the series pages. And I think one of the things that has been discussed that's particularly exciting to me is the ability to watch the videos within a series without actually leaving the series page. So like that list of videos there essentially becomes a playlist, and you can just sort of see all the series there. And like, you know, what if you could come to that series page on our site and just click play, and when you got to the end of one video, it just automatically advanced to the next video and just kind of kept going. And I think there's some potential for really cool new things there that'll be fun to work on. I am one of the things that I've wanted to do on our site for probably about forever at this point is we have a group account feature on the site where you can create you can sign up for a group account, and then you have X number of sort of members of your group, and every group has a group owner. And I've got this idea that we've kind of talked about this before, but being able to, as a group owner, to put together essentially a playlist of videos that you would like the people on your team to watch. You know, Lullabot does a lot of consulting work. What if you were working with Lullabot and you had a Lullabot consultant, and that consultant could go onto the Drupalize Me site and create a curated set of videos for you to watch. And then they could also see, like, you know, did the person watch this video? And kind of keep information about that. I think there's potential for some fun things there as well.
Yeah. So many things we want to do. So in terms of feedback, definitely if there are problems and annoyances on the site, we definitely want to hear about those. But, you know, if you just got like, man, it would be awesome if, because like we have those conversations all the time, and our backlog is full of those conversations. But, you know, if you're out there and you have ideas, like let us know, because we are so excited to go play now. and like I said, there have been a lot of lessons learned. It's been a really long road. We're excited. We hope everybody else is excited. And I hope that even if you're not a Drupalize Me member, I really hope that that the experiences and lessons learned that we share will be able to help a lot of people who have to go through this similar process themselves. Because we did learn a lot of things, I think, about being essentially a small group with other responsibilities and trying to upgrade the site, and you know, things we could have done better to make it not take 18 months. Either that, or just recognizing that it's going to take 18 months. and get on with your life, you know, like don't assume you're going to get something knocked out in 4 to 6 months or something. But
I'd also throw out that if people have additional questions about certain aspects of the process, like send us an email and let us know, and we can, if we also think it's interesting and worth talking about, write up blog posts about that stuff or record additional podcasts. And
yeah, sure. I mean, if people want us to deep dive into aspects of like the technical back end of how we've implemented things or our processes around how we ended up doing stuff, I think we've iterated through our sprint processes, like our development processes, as the team has changed in size and composition, and we've been just trying different things. So even that process, I think, is really kind of fascinating, and how we ended up with the sort of schedule and process we have now and stuff like that. So if folks are interested in that stuff, definitely let us know, and we can do other podcasts and dive deeper into the back end of what's going on. And I think it would also be cool at some point for us to you know, maybe do a little bit of a video or a small video series that's sort of like, here's actually how sort of our site works in a lot of ways, you know, and give people a little peek behind the curtain. But we need to actually, you know, get the site taken care of and going and stuff like that before we do that. But yeah, if people are interested in that, let us know for sure. Cool. Well, we should probably wrap it up. We've been talking everybody's ear off now for an hour or so. Thanks for coming on, guys, and sharing. I think we're all going to go either eat some food or go back to support or tickets or something at this point. There's plenty to do. I'm excited, and I am so happy to have you guys on my team. And it's been amazing. So, dear listeners, if you do have thoughts, suggestions, questions, you can obviously leave a comment, you know, on the podcast page, but you can also contact us at drupalize.me/contact with our contact form. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/drupalizeme, or Twitter, same thing, twitter.com/drupalizeme. We're also on Google Plus, but we haven't gotten our URL shortened yet, so it's so search for Drupalize Me on Google Plus. But any of those channels, you know, let us know what you guys are thinking, and we'll do what we can do. That's all I got. We'll wrap this podcast up, and have a good weekend, everybody. Get some rest. Thanks. See you later.